Our first speaker is a well-known, distinguished attorney, Elisa Rainey. Excuse me, Elisa Rainey. I always get that wrong. Oh, my gosh. She first received her BBA from Baylor in 92 with high honors and earned her JD from Baylor School of Law in 94. She's licensed to practice law in the state of Texas and is a certified elder law attorney. She is in private practice with her husband, James, and is an adjunct professor at Baylor School of Law, teaching elder law. She practices in the areas of estate planning, elder law, and special needs planning with a focus on public benefits planning. She's going to speak today on case law updates. Please welcome Elisa.
Good morning. Such a pleasure helping kick off this wonderful event. The materials that you have for the, The materials for the case law update were prepared by Professor Jerry Beyer with Texas Tech Law School. Of course, he's well known for his digest, his continual case digest, and so he was generous enough to share his materials with us today. We don't have time to go through all of the cases highlighted in the paper during our 30 minutes together, but we're going to try to hit on some of the bigger ones that I think are most relevant to most of our practices. I'm actually taking the materials a bit out of order. We're going to kick it off with some of the things that are near the end of your paper, other estate planning matters, just because I inevitably run out of time, and I wanted to make sure we get these in order, and then we'll kick back up to the earlier materials in his paper. We're going to start it off with Fogle versus Fogle, which is a case dealing with conveyance of property subject to survivorship. Here we have two owners. We'll call them A and B for simplicity's sake. They own certain property as joint tenants with right of survivorship, but then A, during A's lifetime, signs a deed to C, a third party who was not part of that joint tenancy arrangement, conveying A's interest, reserved a life estate for A, but clearly said that upon A's death, A's share would vest in C. The question then, of course, after A passed away, was whether B had still received the entire property under that original joint tenancy arrangement, or if A's share had in fact passed to C according to that deed that A later signed. The Court of Appeals, Beaumont Court of Appeals, determined that in fact A had effectively conveyed her interest in the property to C, so that A, after A passed away, C owns the property with B. And in coming to that conclusion, the Court of Appeals relied on an English common law rule which states the sale of one joint tenant's interest in a property held by the joint tenants cuts off the survivorship rights that the surviving joint tenant would otherwise have enjoyed in the property. So again, even if you originally owned property as joint tenants with right of survivorship, if one of those joint tenants later conveys his or her interest, it terminates that joint tenancy arrangement, and now, in this case, B and C held the property as tenants in common. Moving to Wright versus Jones, this is a ladybird deed case, and we've kind of, many of us who practice elder law especially use ladybird deeds routinely. We haven't had much case law interpretation of those effects, and so it is nice to have a little enlightenment from courts on this one. This one happens to come from the Waco Court of Appeals, and I practice in Waco, so I was lucky enough to be privy to a little bit of information about this case prior to the decision. In this case, husband and wife owned property together as community property. Husband and wife signed a ladybird deed to husband's son from a prior relationship. Husband and wife were defined in that deed collectively as grantor. So it didn't define husband and wife separately, it just identified grantor, husband and wife together. Grantor conveyed the property to son, conveying what we would normally convey in a ladybird deed, that expanded or enhanced life estate. Husband later passed away. Wife signed two documents, one by herself and her agent under a power of attorney. The second document was just signed by the power of attorney, but both of those documents purported to revoke the ladybird deed after the husband passed away. And the question there was, did wife have the right to revoke the ladybird deed after husband's passing, or had husband's interest already vested in his son? And the court determined that, in fact, when husband passed away, his interest in the property terminated, and his community one half did vest in his son.